Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Good morning, everybody. 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And let me see out there, the best listeners in radio. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your day. We like to kick things off usually with our friend Brittany Merlot. Brittany, unable to join us this morning, but she should be with us soon in this week. We're looking forward to hanging out with Brittany very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to hanging out with all of you guys. We got a busy week ahead, everybody.
Yeah.
And we are going to get each other through it. We're going to have some fun during it as well. We got the word of the year. From who does this? The Collins Dictionary. Okay. Got the word of the year from the Collins Dictionary today. We'll get into that.
I would hope it come from a dictionary.
It would be nice. Wouldn't be weird, coming from
this guy Joe. I know he feels really confident.
Very strongly on this.
He's really worried. He's got a great lexicon.
He asked all of his six friends.
Yep, all of them. They all agreed. This is kind of the word.
It's amazing.
Thousands showed up for a fake Halloween parade in Ireland. I want to talk about that one with you guys. I got that one coming up. And we're getting into the percentage of people that think that kids of all ages should be allowed to vote.
Ooh.
We will get into that.
Intriguing, yeah.
Touch on that.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to get into a topic, and I want to open this up right away. So if you guys want to call up at any point today and bring this up, talk about this, your feedback on this one, I'd love to hear. Should Election Day be a national holiday?
Yes.
We've got some pros and cons for that one. We will get into. Looking forward to that. We'll get into that one before the end of the show. But we got a busy show ahead. We've got some entertainment news I definitely want to touch on today. But we also have, of course, the kitchens open.
Woo!
I just got the script. We're going to dive into that one all together. We'll have fun with that as we do every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. Beth will be joining us for that. Afterwards, we're going to be joined by our friend Tom with our monthly veterans update.
Very good.
Kick off November right with some veterans update information and some events going on.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the 9 o'clock hour, want to get into our election coverage, get the audience a little bit heads up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And to wrap things up, a little bit of a lighter note. Again, want audience participation on this one. Jobs that no longer exist, but that we'd be good at. That'd be pretty good at.
I looked at
forgotten skills.
Oh my gosh, I looked at the list. It's awesome. I love it.
There's some fun ones out there. We've got all these things coming up for you. We'll wrap up with our schedule and some good stories of the day. But I hope everybody is feeling charged, feeling good over the weekend.
Yeah.
Of course, busy week with Halloween and all those events, gearing up for the election. And then, of course, daylight savings time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Daylight savings time ended yesterday. And if you're feeling it right now, you are not alone. 69% of Americans say changing the clocks messes with their mood, energy levels, and their ability to focus.
Wow.
The older you are, the more likely you are to agree. 83% of boomers are feeling it, especially in their knees. No, what? I'm joking. compared to 54% of Gen Zers. 57% of parents say shifting the clocks has a significant impact on their children's sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So your kid might be feeling it a little bit more than adults, actually.
That makes sense.
This is something to keep in mind with kids. and here's something else. 29% of Americans expect to lose sleep over the election. 71% don't expect to.
Oh, okay.
So that's not so bad.
That's not bad.
But it does bring up, that is a stat that will be important a little bit later in the show and tomorrow's show, where Melissa and I are going to get into some mental health tips about dealing with the election anxiety and some of the things going on with the election.
Very good.
Oh, good, because I need some help.
I will be honest with the audience. I looked it up in part form, like an article to send to Melissa.
Right.
And our news team and everything. But
James, I haven't had time to look at it.
Not at all. Not a problem. Not at all. Not a worry at all. But as far as the time change from this, a real quick question about this one, and this is genuinely a question, not me saying this. If we didn't know there was a time change, would we feel an effect from it? I'm curious about that because I've felt this every year of my life. Every time this happens, I feel this. And
interesting.
I'm also I realize I am still 10 or 12 years old and really love seeing on the digital clock when the clock like shifts or changes back at 2 o'clock. I love that. It has never gotten old to me.
Oh, that's cool.
I need to grow up or get sleep, one
it's
or the other.
Simple pleasures in life, you know?
But I don't know if I've ever thought about that part of it, where if I hadn't been paying attention, if I wasn't so locked into this and so tuned into it, would I think of much of an effect from it or not?
Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting thing because I've never thought of it, and I've been dealing with them 47 years.
Right.
You know, I like everybody else out there, I've been dealing with it quite a while. How about you two? Do you guys feel any of this? Do anybody you know feel anything from this? Melissa?
I do. I noticed the time change just because, you know, we talked some about like the anxiety of the time change coming up. Like as soon as you hear it, oh, the time's changing, it's kind of a, again. Like, and I have to readjust my sleep schedules and there's all the rigmarole that goes along with that. But in an article that Brittany sent over last week, she states from the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine, it says that the shift in time change has been associated with increased heart attacks, strokes, abnormal heart rhythms, sleep disruption, mood disturbances, and even suicide.
Ooh. Wow.
So, there's that.
Yeah. And honestly, that's all stuff to be taken seriously, and it's all stuff that, honestly, whether it's in our heads or not, that's the end result. That's what matters. This is kind of one of those things that I get into. Oh man, that eagle is just flying really low today, you guys. Oh, it's beautiful. It is one of, so I don't have squirrel. I have eagle.
You know, that's appropriate.
Whether it is in our heads or not doesn't matter. The end result is stats you hear there from Melissa and Brittany's article there. It's important. Important to note. I think that that's one of those things, too, where we can prepare for these things as much as we can, but we still, you know, in real time, it's a little different.
Yeah, your body gets into a rhythm. I mean, it's only twice a year when this happens, so you get into a rhythm of, you know, whatever that happens to be, and then there is a big disruption in it. I mean, it literally shifts an hour. And man, even if you're not, you know, conscious of it, your body certainly must be because of the difference that suddenly happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you've ever traveled somewhere that's in a different time zone, you've experienced this too. And in our own country, we have multiple time zones in our country. So you can just, you know, drive several hundred miles one direction and suddenly you're in a new time zone. And it does take your body a while to adjust to that.
It really does.
I feel like it took me 7 months to get used to the 2-hour change in California. And I never got used to it as far as calling people here. Birthdays, you know, fantasy drafts, like whatever it was. I was always early or late.
Yeah, right.
It drove me mad.
It's 4 a.m.
And that's the thing of it, too, where you're so used to calling your friends or something. Just like, especially in sports, something happens and you're calling them up right away. And they're like, wait, what are you doing?
What are you doing, man?
Taking a nap is a big recommendation as far as tips for dealing with some, you know, some of this daylight savings, you know, aftermath, if you will. Taking a nap is a great one. Modifying your routine, certainly, to fix these things, to work with this stuff. And you know, giving each other grace is a big one. And giving yourself grace with this, especially. Understanding that kids, I mean, imagine being 5 years old and you're just trying to figure out time. You're just trying to figure out what seconds, minutes, days, months, all this stuff is. And then somebody tells you that you trust and you look up to, literally and you know, physically. Hey, by the way, we're changing that now. We're going back an hour.
It doesn't matter if you're hungry right now. Dinner isn't for another hour.
But no, we've always done it by this. It's getting dark out. I don't have to come in until it's dark out.
My belly says it's dinner time.
It's got to be very confusing. It's confusing. Yeah. For adults, imagine if you're just trying to figure
out
what time in general is very how do we know what time it is
exactly?
But how do we know exactly what time it is? Well, go play, Timmy.
James,
go play. Quit asking so many questions.
James, does anyone know really what time it is?
Does anybody really care?
5 o'clock somewhere.
Does anybody really care?
Nicely done. I like the idea of you just basically tell go play or something while I look it up on my phone.
And then we have to talk about pets. Yes. Like they have zero concept of time. No. And then suddenly you're not feeding them when it's food time. So
wait, what's going on here? What's happening?
They do not handle it very well. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. It's it's a weird thing to deal with, but it is you know, something that we can handle. It will be all right.
Yeah, right.
And keep that in mind too, because it's not just that, but of course with tomorrow coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that I talked about with Representative Krug last Friday, and I think it holds strong. He touched on it as well. I know something about this. So when I was growing up, I was in so many darn fights and grew up in a very violent area, and I walked around everywhere with my fists clenched.
Right.
I was always looking over my shoulder. When I moved out here, spoiler alert, didn't have to do that. But it didn't stop me from doing it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I got into plenty of fights growing up out here. And were some of them my fault, some of them not? Sure. Statistically, some were, some weren't. But almost none of them had to happen if I wasn't walking around with my fists clenched all the time. If we walk into tomorrow with our fists clenched, things can go wrong. Things can go the direction we don't want them to. Not saying they won't if we don't. But I'm guaranteeing that things can be a lot more intense than they have to be if we're all walking around with our fists clenched, we're all anxious, we're all tense. Let's breathe. Let's take this, like, this is democracy, baby. This is what we do. Right. We're America. This is our thing.
Yeah, let's enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let's be graceful to each other. Yeah. Treat each other well. Every single individual, whether it is a poll worker or your fellow Americans, are just trying to make democracy work.
Right.
That's what matters here. Not who people are voting for. That ain't your business. I don't care what they have out on their lawn or anything like that. That doesn't mean that's who they're voting for. We've seen the stats of
this.
That's true. It doesn't even matter what polls are saying right now. Mm-hmm. They could be saying one thing in a poll and feel something completely different when they get into that booth. Mm-hmm. And that is their right. Mm-hmm. That is their birth. Or that is their birthright, being born in this country.
Yep.
And if there's one thing we can all agree on, we love this country. Mm-hmm. We love democracy. Let's treat each other good tomorrow. Let's walk into tomorrow with not such a gloom and doom and all that. Although the weather is not helping, Mother Nature.
Yeah. It'd be nice if the sun would
just
come out.
Just a little backdrop. That's all I'm asking for here. A little.
But we have the opportunity to perform our civic duty. And yeah, we should be proud of that and happy to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let freedom ring. We're going to go ahead and come back and let birthdays and anniversaries ring. That didn't sound as good. It sounded better in my head. So, no. Okay. We'll come back with more fun at the Elk Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. It is time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself when they open their doors tomorrow, everybody. I can't think of a maybe go ahead and get your vote in.
Yeah.
And then treat yourself. Like, I voted. I made democracy happen. I'm going to go treat myself at El Cafe.
I'm going to have an enchilada.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they or nachos for breakfast.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Start a new tradition.
There you go.
After you get your vote in, head on over to El Cafe tomorrow, everybody. They have got some great specials lined up for the week. Can't wait to see what they got in store. Make plans to go head on over there and wish them a great one from all of us. Thank them for sponsoring the birthday and anniversary. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. Love to celebrate with you. Info at WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages. Feel free to do that. And call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600. You can wish your happy birthday or anniversary, but live on air, right with us.
That's right. Who wouldn't want to do that?
We appreciate so much, you
guys.
We are a lot of fun. And there is not much more fun than celebrating.
Except maybe Seth.
You know, he has his days.
Every now and then.
We certainly love celebrating with you guys. Get them to us. And thank you so much to everybody that get them to us. We got a couple right here. I got two right here, and I got Melissa tomorrow. So, Seth, give me a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us the qualifier. And we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, want to wish a happy birthday to Calvin.
Just Calvin?
That's all we got. Okay, Calvin.
I love that name.
There we go. But Calvin.
I mean, I am a huge fan of Calvin and Hobbes, so that's
probably why. Yeah,
same.
But
same.
Also, Calvin, have an amazing birthday.
Yeah.
Top five comic strips of all time. Calvin and Hobbes, easily.
One of the
top
greatest.
Five. Yeah. Calvin, enjoy your day. I hope it's a good one. And our qualifier, Margaret Heppner.
Happy birthday, Margaret.
Happy birthday, Margaret.
Wish you a great day, Margaret. Hope it's a good one for you. Love the name Margaret.
Yeah.
Great name. Yes. Great name.
Boy, what a versatile name, man. You can be Madge, Marge,
so many. I love
Midge.
Names like that.
Yeah. I mean, Peggy. Peggy. I mean, I don't know how you get Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy.
Yeah. Maggie.
Maggie.
Maggie. Maggie.
But Peggy, too. Margaret is also a Peggy. Suppose. Yep.
So many good ones. Mm-hmm. And we hope you have a good one, Margaret.
Yes.
Enjoy your day. And thanks so much to whoever got us this birthday. We get right into the celebrating for our celebrity list. Let's see here. Curtis Stone is 49. Australian celebrity chef. Not familiar with
him. No.
Well, all right. Matthew McConaughey is 55 today, y'all. All right.
Do you think he works on that accent?
I think he doesn't have to.
Oh, okay.
When you are that smooth, you don't have to. A guy that was not going to necessarily go all into acting. Had a number of different things lined up. Liked to act, but didn't think he'd ever really get a break. Happened to make friends with a guy who was doing a film called Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
And, offered Matthew the role because he thought that he'd nail it really good. Matthew's sitting there in the car, and his opening line is just not really... Doesn't work for him. It's going to be introduction of this character that him and the director believe is a really good character. So he pitches something to the director right literally before the director is going to say action. And they go with it. And the rest is history. That opening line of all right, is something that is attached to him.
It is.
His career and helps springboard him to getting so many opportunities. Now, opportunity only does so much. Matthew McConaughey could have spent the next 20 years doing rom-coms and maybe action movies or something like that, playing hippy-dippy characters or something like that. He took this opportunity and decided to do a show like True Detective. And show everybody, oh, by the way, I got skills.
Yep.
I can do this.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Just
amazing
incredible.
Performance.
Incredible performance. Legendary performance in Dallas Buyers Club. Wolf of Wall Street. He has shown Interstellar. He has shown you, by the way, I can also do this. I am so thankful that his friend and him talked and like they convinced him to do this. I love his career. I love the things he's accomplished, and I look forward to him doing more and more.
Right.
He is the definition of you can't judge a book by its cover in those things, especially in the acting game where we need so much of this. Matthew McConaughey walks into a casting session, and he is going to be typecast 99% of his career until he shows that he can do other things.
Right.
We need to give more opportunities for these. I there's nobody else in some of the all those roles I mentioned. Nobody I could see in those roles. Mm-hmm. Nobody else I can see in them. Mm-hmm. Especially True Detective. That first season of True Detective is some of the best TV I've ever seen in my life. And it's best acting. Him and Woody Harrelson, the chemistry is amazing in that show. Ralph Macchio is 63. Danielson. he's made a great career off of that character. He's had some nice roles. The Outsiders should be mentioned, I think.
My Cousin Vinny,
A great job in My Cousin Vinny. But he's even been able to bring this back with the new show,
Cobra Kai.
Jeff Probst is 63, Survivor host.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I believe the producer and creator of Survivor.
I believe that is correct, yes.
Kathy Griffin is 64.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, wow, 64.
Long time stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Bush is 78. Wishing her a happy
78.
Ooh, Hot Lips is 87. Loretta Swit is 87. Hot Lips Houlihan.
Oh, that's great.
From MASH, of course, one of the better named characters of all time. And nobody else I could see in that role but her. Loretta Swit
so
was
good.
Awesome.
Yes.
She did a great job on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And some people no longer with us. One of my favorite TV actors, Marky Post, born in this day, 1950, passed away in 2021. Christine Sullivan, A Night Court.
Yep.
I believe she was the mom in Something to Do About Mary.
I remember it. Yes.
Keith David were the parents, I remember. And I just love that as a couple.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see a movie just with those two as a celebrity or as a couple in a TV show or something like that. Doris Roberts, born in this day in 1925, passed away in 2016. A legendary actress. Most people out there will know her as Ray's mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yep.
But she did a billion things in her career that were amazing.
Right. Wasn't she George's mom in Seinfeld, too?
Yes.
That was
no.
I was thinking of someone else. Sorry.
Another great character.
Yes,
another great one. And you know, especially going into tomorrow, what a name to come up for today. One of the greatest to ever do it, Mr. Walter Cronkite, born on this day in 1916, passed away in 2009. Which means that Mr. Cronkite got to see the birth of the 24/7 news cycle and probably cried. Yeah. Because news should not be 24/7. Mm-hmm. News is not happening every second.
No.
Not everything is breaking news. People need a breath, need their brains to recharge and all this. I don't agree with it, but I do agree with the way that man reported, the way that Walter Cronkite treated the news. And there's a reason why when you hear people make jokes about news or, oh yeah, way to go, Cronkite, or something like that.
Right.
It's like Einstein. It's like we associate it with true journalism. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. I cannot encourage people enough to look back at some of the reporting, some of the work that Mr. Cronkite did, and be inspired, hopefully, to not become a reporter, but, you know, look for good reporting and support good reporting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was the most trusted news source for many Americans for decades.
Yeah.
And if you're out and about and you happen to run into our general manager, engineer Chuck Gennaro, he has a fabulous Walter Cronkite story. Ask him about it. It's really good.
Yes, you got to get that story, everybody. You got to get that story. Alan, we wrap up with Alfred Heineken, born in the state in 1923, passed away in 2002.
Wow. I didn't realize he was alive that long.
Yeah. Now, if you, because I know inventors tend to be like, okay, I invented something. I'm not going to like sit back and rest on that.
Right.
I'm going to invent a billion other things. You invent like something like that. Do you just kind of like sit back and like, oh, I'm good.
All right. I did my job. I'm done.
It's one of the best selling beers in the world.
People exactly.
I'm good. I'm going to go enjoy my product. I don't know what you do in that situation. You invent something that big.
I'm telling you.
Or is it one of those things like, well, he also invented this, this, and this, and you want to be known for this or this, but oh, and that beer.
Remember that beer that's named after him?
Yeah. I invented this thing that helped people or helped animals or something like that. Yeah, but that beer. It's got the green bottle.
It's got the interesting name.
Fine. Yeah,
you know, I made the beer. Like he's got a fascinating backstory, though. Like he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Whoa.
In 83.
Wow.
I don't know much of this.
And ransomed.
But, yeah. I don't know much of this, but I know a little bit. My buddy and I, Chris, we loved Heineken when we first turned 21 and all that and stuff. I haven't drank it in a while, but then we learned a little bit about Mr. Heineken just because of this, yes.
How weird. Yeah, anyway.
And that he was also known as Freddie. Freddie Heineken.
I
didn't know that.
Good old Freddie.
Businessman.
I will say I'm surprised there hasn't been a biopic made on him. Like it's that weird
someday.
Of a,
it's in the works, man.
You got to think, because it's a wild life that man lived. And we appreciate everybody out there getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep in mind, tomorrow, our friends at El Cafe open for the week.
Yeah.
Help them open the week strong and head on over there to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Enjoy some El Cafe tomorrow, everybody. For now, we're going to get to our timeout, take care of some bills and our news and our sports, and we'll come back with the word of the year here on the Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Got new bumpers.
That's right.
Yeah, nicely done, Seth.
All right. Can't wait.
I'm using this one every time. Every time.
Let's do Lowrider all
just
the time.
Just for my dad. God, man, we listened to a lot of War growing up. A lot of this, man.
That's a good band to listen to.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic one out there, everybody. It's hard to be in a bad mood with this song.
I'm telling you.
Like, it really is. Maybe they should
make you bob your head.
It does.
Maybe that's what they should be doing. Like, while you're walking into the polls and everything, happy music.
Yeah, funky music. Get to people dancing in line. I'd love that. That'd be great.
I think that'd be pretty fun. We got some fun stuff to get to before the top of the hour. Right now, we've got to get into the Collins Dictionary. They just announced the word of the year. Would you like to take a guess at it, either of you?
I would like to take a guess at it.
Oh, okay.
I would like to throw it out there. Mm. I'm going to guess the word weird.
Oh, okay. All right.
We've been hearing the word weird a lot lately, maybe that's what it is.
I've been hearing it my whole life.
And some of us have never stopped hearing it.
Okay, that's a good one. Melissa, do you have any options? I know. No, that's fine.
That's a really, really big question on a Monday morning, James.
I wouldn't have had an option either.
I asked James if I could do that, so that was on me. Yeah.
And I think
I'm going to say weed.
Nice.
Just for fun.
That's it. I like it. Just for fun. Just to throw it out there. I love it. Nice. I love it. That's right. CBD. We can throw that out there too. You know that. So that we're all wrong though.
We're all wrong. Okay.
The Collins Dictionary just announced the word of the year is brat.
Brat.
They define brat as characterized by a confident, independent, and hedonistic attitude. This was inspired by the Charlie XCX album Brat, which came out in June, led to Brat Summer, a phenomenon, along with several Brat memes.
Okay.
Charlie describes Brat like this: you're just like that girl who's a little messy and likes to party and maybe says some dumb things sometimes, but still is intelligent. She likes to feel herself and be in the moment.
So, okay.
I don't know what I just said.
No, me neither. Words
don't mean what they mean.
No, they don't.
They stop meaning.
They apparently don't mean what they used to mean, and we're just all going to roll with that.
Right.
Brat is word of the year. Okay.
So this is I want dictionaries to stick around. I want dictionaries to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Words are important.
Right.
Words are important, and with everything we are just saying, but I mean.
He's lost his words.
Changing the meanings. Like, I've been called a brat so many times when I was a kid. This is what it meant? No, it
the
didn't.
The whole time.
What, no, that's not what it meant. It meant I was being a brat. So I was being naughty.
All of us as Americans are being pandered to, and we have been for years now, with the election coming up. You've got a lot of politicians out there right now that are pandering, especially in the last couple of days where these polls are popping out, and sure. There's a lot of desperation, and you're seeing that. Hey, do people like hunting? So throw something out there about hunting. Yeah, I don't know, anything. Let's make something up. You're literally seeing that happening in real time right now.
Yeah.
With some of these ads and some of these attack things that are going on. You will hear this in music a lot, where artists will pan. I'm seeing this a lot in country music. As somebody who has like a third perspective of country music, who has a respect for it, but also isn't embedded in a lot of the culture and everything, I'm seeing a lot of pandering in country music.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just eating it up, and other people being like, I'm not dealing with that. That's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I think people could tell the difference of these things. And nobody maybe more than young people. And to the Collins Dictionary executives that made this, you know, marketing decision and everything.
Sure.
The people you're pandering to, they don't want to be pandered to. It's like one of the last.
And they're not going to buy a dictionary.
No. Oh, wow. The Collins Dictionary chose the word brat. That made me want to buy a Collins Dictionary. No, it didn't. No, it made you make fun of Collins Dictionary.
Exactly.
It made, well, how lame. How unbrat. I don't know. Whatever the word for being lame
is. Opposite of.
Being me. Maybe it's James. Maybe that's the word for being lame. I don't know. But I know that this isn't going to work. And while you're also losing your core audience. Mm-hmm. You're not taking care of them. You're not like the people that are actually buying or looking at dictionaries or anything like that.
Want to know what stuff means? You know, that's what we want to do. You know, it's funny. A lot of this stuff. And I don't even know. I mean, if you asked several, you know, like Zoomers, you know, Gen Z folks, who presumably this is from, you know, this is kind of part of their lexicon, right?
Mm-hmm.
What it means. I bet you a lot of them don't know what it means. I asked my kids last night what sigma means in, you know, because now we've been hearing this.
Yeah.
Sigma. And I'm like, what does it mean? They're both like, I don't know. A lot of people are using it. I was like, yeah, that's why I was asking. Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Yeah.
We don't know what it means. Oh, okay. Well, all right.
We just say it.
Yeah, we just
sounds cool.
Say it, right?
Other words that were in the running were era. A period of one's life or career that's of a distinctive character.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right.
Makes sense.
That actually kind of makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Supermajority. A large majority in a legislative assembly that enables a government to pass laws without effective scrutiny.
All right. That's an interesting definition. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Anti-tourism. Opposition to or action against large-scale tourism.
Interesting.
Right. Let's sabotage our own economy. Okay.
Yes, let's do that.
What is that about? What is going on with the Collins Dictionary?
Yeah.
Man,
who are these people? Why have I not heard of this Collins Dictionary before today?
You know,
reasons, Seth.
Right, yes,
reasons.
Yes. What's happened? What happened to Funkin' Wagnalls?
Yeah, I mean, right. There you go. Where's my Macmillan?
Webster's.
Yeah. Webster's. Webster's. Yeah.
Webster's. My
Webster's. The Oxford English Dictionary.
Yes, yes.
There you go.
And yapping, talking at length, especially about inconsequential matters.
Wait a minute. Yapping is an old word.
Yeah, that's not
really old. Word. Yeah.
That's, I don't know about that.
Maybe. I don't know either. Hey, it killed, 7 minutes. We're good.
There we go. There we go. It was interesting. Yeah, it does it feel was, like the word of the year thing is something we always cover. So
I think we should come up with our own word of the year. That's what we should
do. Yes. What would you choose as the word of the year, everybody? I'll take either of your answers if you end up having one before the end of the show. And you out there, we'd love to hear what you think your word of the year would be. Keep in mind, this is a PG show.
Tired. My word of the year is tired.
I thought Melissa's word of the year, or like every year, is cake. She's trying to turn that into something. It's just not working.
I'm with her.
It's not working.
She's got a supporter right here. I'm with her.
Oh, come on, Seth. I complimented you on your Halloween special that you put together. I said it was so cake, it was almost pie.
I did not ignore that. Line. I did notice that. So
that's a good line.
Okay. Pretty good.
I didn't get a response, so I didn't know if you read it.
I did.
Every election, the campaigns push to get out the vote, encouraging everyone to let their voices be heard. But one group's voices are not being heard. Babies. There's a new poll out on voting that includes this fascinating stat. 20% of Americans think kids of all ages should be allowed to vote. 20%.
What?
It's unclear how they would work. How that would work for young kids, since they can't keep their color. They can't even color within the lines, or sometimes listen to half the things we ask them to do, because they're kids. That's not me picking on kids.
Right.
That's understanding kids. That's all.
Development of human beings.
Right.
That's science. That's.
But this is one option. 13% of people support giving parents one additional vote for each child that they have who is a minor. Here we go. This is where this is all coming. Interestingly enough, these percentages are virtually the same between conservatives and liberals, although folks 65 years older and above are not as hot on this as teens or little kids are on this. So if parents did get an extra vote for their kids, wouldn't they just be a bonus vote for whichever candidate they like? Not necessarily.
Mm.
If this happened, 53% of people say the parents would, quote, always or usually vote the same when voting on behalf of their young kids. But 19% say that they would only be sometimes.
Mm.
10% say votes would only match rarely, and 6% say that they'd never be the same. And maybe this explains that 21% of people say that parents would always or usually customize their kids' votes to represent the best interest of the child.
Hmm.
33% say that kids, quote, kids' votes would only be sometimes in the children's best interest. 27% say that they'd rarely.
Wow.
And whether or not you can lower the voting age, even to 16, a whopping 78% of people think that there should be broader national programs to educate children and teens about the political process.
Ooh.
On the flip side of all that, 35% of people think that the minimum voting age for national elections should be raised from 21.
No.
So I'm going to quash that one right away. I don't think that we're going.
Isn't it 18?
Yeah. 18 to 21?
Be raised to 21.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Should be raised to 21. I don't know that anybody, I've never in my life ever heard anybody say that.
Not really.
And there's a lot to talk about here with a little bit of time. So I just, if you guys want to talk about that, the listeners do, we can come back to it. But I want to move from that one.
Okay.
As I feel like that's a non-starter.
Can I just say one thing? If parents should get to vote for their children, they should have to pass a test to have kids. There should be a parent test. That's my take.
That's a strong take.
Sure. No.
No, it's good.
I like it. The first thing that pops in my head is something that I was told all the time as a too serious little kid. Jimmy, just be a kid. Just be a kid. For the love of God, you have to ask so many questions.
It was always followed by that.
Can't you just be a child? And I wish I was doing this for comedic effect, but I'm not. We've been saying this since we were born, and generations long before we were. Mm-hmm. Kids are growing up too fast. Kids have too much on their plate. Kids, we're asking
too much on them.
Mm-hmm. The last thing in the world we can afford to do is, hey, Timmy, by the way, while you're learning your times tables, I also want you to look at the farm report here.
Yeah.
Have you looked at taxes in your area and how it differs between county to county? I want you to take a dive in it. But what are we doing? What are we doing? This is our job as adults to focus on these things and to think for kids. Do I have to protect the children?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to explain to everybody out there that it is your vote, but it is not just about you? You should be thinking about in that booth.
Exactly.
You should be thinking of kids and your, not just your kids, but kids in general.
All kids. Mm-hmm.
We ask whoever is voted into office to represent all Americans, not just the people that they voted for.
That voted for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is obviously I would say that this is also the same case for our children. That when we're thinking what is demanded of us. If we're going to ask it of them, we need to be willing to do it ourselves. So when you're walking into that booth, you can't just be thinking of just you and yours. That's important, and it should go into your decision-making. Mm-hmm. But it can't just come down to that. You know what? I love The Simpsons. I'm voting for Simpsons Sundays, where every Sunday is about The Simpsons. But guess what? Not everybody likes that show. Not a lot of people like that show. So it's not about me. You know what? I'm not going to vote for that. Because it's not just about me. Mm-hmm. It's about everybody. I can enjoy The Simpsons on Sundays on my own. I don't need the government to tell me that. This is important, everybody. This is the part of what we're going into with this. And while this seems like a far-fetched thing, these are the kind of things that distract us from the actual conversations we should be having. Right. I think this is a non-starter. I think the age is perfect at 18, and I like the idea of kids not having to worry about this stuff before then. However, I will say we need to do a much better job educating kids about the three branches of government and what county, what people are in charge of what things. I can't tell you how many grown adults I've had come to me and say, hey, when you see Lance Plimmel, you make sure to ask him about this as a board. I mean, he ain't in charge of that. You tell Sheriff Becker this. He ain't in charge of that. Like, we need to understand these things a little bit better.
Yeah. And you're so right, man. It's not just kids. I mean, this is why we're here. And we have all these questions because we don't know. I mean, and like not just like the national stuff. No. We got to talk about all the local government organizations. Like you were talking about, man. The county board. What do they do? What does the sheriff do? What does the mayor and the council in your town do? You know, this is all really important stuff. What stuff can't they do because it's the state law or it's federal law or something like that? Man, that's not only kids, I would say. I think everybody needs to have refreshers on this stuff because it's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we got to talk about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, too, the voting process should be easy. To actually cast your vote should be.
100%.
But to decision should not be. It's work. That's the beauty of democracy. That is the birthright we have been given. But it's not just something you just walk in there and do. Like, it takes work. Things in life, anything worth having takes a little bit of work. A little bit of elbow grease. Do we really have elbow grease?
Elbow grease?
I don't know if I even want to know. I'm not sure. I was about to look it up, and I'm like,
specifically
I don't know.
For elbows? That's weird.
It might have been the first time in my life that I didn't just run to go ahead and look into something that I was curious about. I don't know.
While you're looking that up, look for windshield washer or blinker fluid.
You can learn more about what is on your ballot and voting in general and making sure you are all ready to go at civicmedia.us. Go there and you can get right into the information of early voting. Direct link to myvote.wi.gov. Mm-hmm. You can get into that.
See your ballot. You can see where your polling place is. You can see all kinds of good stuff.
When we come back, should Election Day be a national holiday? Should we not be here tomorrow? Should we...
Can I just take the day?
That's what it's all about. We just want the day off. We will come back and talk about it on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great, great Monday out there, everybody. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Little Temptations to play us in.
Mm-hmm.
Good things coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by Beth with The Kitchen's Open. Looking forward to that. Another great episode of The Kitchen's Open to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. After that, we're going to get a monthly veterans update from our friend Tom Heiser.
Very good.
Woo-hoo.
Got some entertainment news to touch on. Got a legend to we have to say goodbye to. Also want to touch on some other fun things going on in our area. All that coming up for you. And, of course, we got another good story that I wanted to get into as well. Jobs that no longer exist that we'd be good at.
Can't wait. That's going to be a fun one.
But for right now, for those that didn't hear, there's a lot of schools in Illinois are going to be closed on Election Day.
Hmm.
Election Day is an official state holiday for the 2024 election season, meaning wow. children in K-12 public schools will not be required to attend classes.
Wow.
I just found this out a little while ago, and I had not really heard about this, but I'd forgotten since I was so young when I was going to school in Illinois. This was a common thing. They do this a lot in Illinois, and specifically in Chicago. Chicago is a very political city,
right?
And has been, always has been, for the better and worse of politics.
Exactly.
Has been. There's a reason for the Chicago style politics and why that's known throughout the whole world.
Right.
You know, it's not something that most Illinois people are proud of, and it's part of the reason why you see Illinois politics going a much more different direction after Blagojevich or people like that.
Right.
You know, I would also remind people as well that, you know, like Governor or Senator Simon, there's some great people who have come out of the state of Illinois.
Absolutely.
Abraham Lincoln is one of them.
Yeah, forget all they, right?
Got a couple presidents out of there and stuff, too. So, but this got the topic rolling in my head, and it comes up usually every 4 years, of should Election Day be a day off for a national holiday? There are some pros and cons to this, and procon.org you can go to find this article if you'd like.
Interesting.
It's an interesting website, by the way, if you're ever curious about that part, too. But I could read from the article, or I could hear from you guys and you out there. So what do you guys think? 715-424-2600, just a touch or two away in the Civic Media app, and thank you so much for downloading the app. Do you two have any feelings on this right out the gate?
Go ahead, Melissa. I know you've got feelings.
I don't have feelings.
You don't.
All of my feelings have left.
All right, I got it. I got it.
Feelingless.
Here we go. Not only.
Thanks for the content.
I'm
just kidding, Melissa.
Not only should it be a day off, it should be on a Sunday. It should be on a Sunday because if we look at countries all over the world, that is usually the day that they have elections because people tend to have Sundays off. Now, I know not everybody has a Sunday off, but I do think that it should be a holiday and it should be on a Sunday. So that's my take on it. My bold take.
That's a bold take there, Seth. I do agree that it should be a day off, but I like that it's on a Tuesday because were it on a Sunday, people would just, you know, take the weekend and go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's on a Tuesday, you know, they've had their weekend, they go back to work on Monday. Ooh, now we get a Tuesday off without, you know, with work days around it. The only thing we have to do is go vote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I see your point there.
So the pros and cons, I'm going to give you pro one, pro con one, and go down the line here. There's only three of them. Pro one, making Election Day a national holiday will increase voter turnout by enabling more people to vote.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The con, making Election Day a national holiday will disadvantage low-income and blue-collar workers. Federal law doesn't require private employers to give employees paid federal holidays. A part-time hour worker is more likely to have multiple jobs. If those jobs are not open, they cannot make money.
Right.
That is true.
Pro two. Making Election Day a national holiday would turn voting into a celebration of democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the hope, yeah.
Con two, changing state laws and individual companies' policies would be more effective ways to help people vote. So this being more of a, local thing.
Like, more of a state, local kind of thing. Yes, right, yes. Okay.
So that is getting a little bit more defined with it. Not even talking necessarily about it not being a national holiday, but being more of a federal holiday, like we were talking about with Illinois.
Right, exactly.
Because while employers are required to give you time off to go vote, they are not required to, you know, you don't get paid for that.
You don't get paid, and and it's only for a specific period of time, right?
Right.
And finally, making weekday elections a national holiday is a popular idea that would align with U.S. and with other countries. A Pew Research Center found that 71% of Democrats and 60% of Republicans support making Election Day a federal holiday.
Wow.
Oh, we found a purple issue.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
and another survey showed that U.S. adults would rather have a federal holiday or Election Day than on Christmas Eve or Friday after Thanksgiving or St. Patrick's Day even being a national holiday.
Wow.
Wow.
Ranking higher than those.
Impressive.
I didn't realize how popular this is.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, con three, other solutions would more reliably increase voter turnout than a national holiday. Solutions such as automatic voter registration, same-day registration, early voting, no-excuse absentee voting, restoring voting rights to former felons, improving civics education, and voter outreach would all improve voter participation.
Mm-hmm. Let's do both.
And that is my answer.
I was going to. Sorry, I jumped on you.
No, that's cool. I'm glad to hear some unison in that.
Yeah.
You never know where you're going to land with these things with right. You know, people. But I don't see why we can't do all of the above, like D, all the above.
Right. And one I know that we're all three of us are very on board with rank, choice, voting, which was not in there.
Yes.
But I think that's another thing we need to add to our elections. Yeah.
I think that whether we as citizens want it or not, and overwhelmingly you are seeing the polls telling you overwhelmingly that people want ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. That is more and more becoming a thing. And it is just a matter of time, I believe. Now, whether that's the next election cycle or 30, 40 years from now, I don't know. But it is just a matter of time before this happens. I think one thing that is going to speed that up is the current climate of the Republican Party. And where that is going.
Yeah.
You're only seeing that being more and more divided. And that is a party that traditionally was together. Mm-hmm. So seeing that happening, it's hard not to. And this isn't a side thing. I got no R or D in front of my name.
Right.
I'm looking at this as an American. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to see, you know, the things going in that direction. With that being said, I think ranked choice voting is just a matter of time.
I agree.
And I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, states do something similar to what Illinois did. Mm-hmm. And having Election Day being a day off. Now, being smart about that is something that's going to take some time and some research and some work.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, right.
I think that I could see that
voting
happening.
Should be easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
accessible to every U.S. citizen.
Correct.
to people that don't think it should be, that what are they afraid of? Tells you a
good question.
Tells you a lot.
Who doesn't want you to be able to vote easily?
That's right.
The people that try to make you afraid are the ones that are afraid, and you have to question why they are doing that.
Gotta find out why.
Always question why.
Always why.
We'll be back with more why. We'll be back with more show. Morning show. Come back on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And all.